Welcome to the Other F Word Podcast with Morgan,
Sarah,
and Melissa,
where we talk about that dreaded word, failure. Join us as we explore the messy, tragic, funny, and inspiring stories that make us human. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Other F Word Podcast. We're very excited to have Mr. Preston Pollard on.
He
is a skateboarder from Alaska. He's a life coach, motivational speaker, and an interviewer. So thanks, Preston, for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
I'm super excited to be here. Thank you all for just putting this together and for you just, you know, you guys just giving back and helping others. This is just amazing. So continue to do what you guys are doing.
Wow. Wow. That means a lot coming from you. Thank you for saying that.
I mean, it's all true, but we appreciate it.
And this is what, the 100th episode? What is
this? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our 100th.
Number 100, everybody.
You made 100. The 100. Right. You made it, baby.
It's pretty exciting.
I know, right?
It's really exciting.
Pretty cool.
Congratulations on
it. Yeah. Seriously. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
But enough about us, Preston.
What do you think about me?
Yeah. Let's get more specific with our brains.
Morgan.
Now let's talk about you. I mean, you have a great story growing up in Alaska.
Yeah.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, it's definitely been a huge journey. I'm born and raised in Alaska, and when I was younger, I was super, super hyper, and I was always just I was not getting into hardcore trouble or anything like that, but just trying to find my way, just as a kid would. And so just growing up, just really didn't fit in necessarily with, groups of kids. You know, a lot of them would play basketball, football, and especially me being black. They're like, you got to play basketball. You got to play football. So that wasn't something I was interested in. And but I remember one day I saw a couple of kids skateboarding, and I was like, that looks cool. I was like, I got to try that. And so I literally just walked down the street, met a couple of the kids. They, you know, showed me their skateboard. And after that, it was just like, this is fun. But I didn't realize that after I would start skateboarding that people would be making fun of me. And they were like, again, they were just, you know.
Why?
Because being a black skateboarder is not, that, at that time, that wasn't the coolest.
It was a stereotype that you should be, you were saying, a football player or a basketball player. So it was.
Yeah. So I could have quit, but I was like, I ain't quitting. This is awesome. And so I just set out to really begin to just have fun skateboarding. And I had a cool group that I would, you know, skateboard with around town. And then further on, I was like 14, and then I had this goal. I was like, I want to become a sponsored skateboarder. It was just crazy, but because all my friends were better than me. I wasn't the best, but I just began to just dream and use my imagination. I built like a dream wall with skateboarding pictures all around my room and just had these goals for myself. And then it was like maybe 2-3 years later, I walked into this skate shop and asked the guy sitting behind the counter. I said, who would be the best person to talk to you about getting sponsored? I just started asking him questions. Mm-hmm. And he was a skateboarder kid. He was a little high, sitting behind the skateboard counter. Yeah, hey, bro. Hey, dude. But he told me, if you want to be sponsored, you need to talk to the guy in the back of the skate shop. He's the owner. And anyway, I just took a step of faith, talked to him. And I said, this is who I am. This is where I'll be able to, you know, help out your company. And he was like, you know what, man? He's like, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. He's like, you got the hustle. You asked me. He's like, a lot of people don't want to, you know, work for it or take initiative, but since you did that, I want to help you. So he walked me down to the front of the skate shop, hands me this new skateboard, brand new, and I was super super excited. So that was like the start of everything.
How
I was like,
at this point,
I was like 14-15 years old.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And that was kind of the point where I'm like, yo, your imagination, your, you know, how you position your thoughts, everything is, this stuff is real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything kind of just took off from there. And I definitely learned a lot through that point, because I was getting involved in, you know, with different friends, you know, with, you know, drugs and alcohol, because I was a sponsored skateboarder and I was one of the only few. So I was like kind of popular with you. And at that time, skateboarding was never popular, but now I was kind of getting some attention. So, I know one of the turning points in my life was when I started to go to all these different parties and just acting a fool, getting in trouble. But then I got in a car accident I was with somebody that was driving drunk and, you know, it hit a telephone pole head went out the window. Just thank God nothing crazy happened. But after that point right there and just getting into trouble, doing a lot of just foolish things, my aunt sat me down and was like, you really need to think about your life and what you plan on doing. She said, you're gifted. You have a lot of things. But if you keep going down this path, you're going, you know, it ain't going to be good.
Now, was that the whole skateboarding culture? Was there a lot of, were there a lot of drugs and drinking? And
yeah.
Partying?
I mean, I think it's any kind of, you know, young people, you know, teenagers. I mean, yeah, teenagers, right. You just want, you're trying right. to find yourself.
Totally.
You're doing what's cool.
Right.
Yep. And so,
but I do have to say, I mean, as I was saying before, talking about swimming, you know, certain sports, like for me in swimming, one of the things that was a great, you know, it was, it saved me in a way, was that there were no drugs, because you had, it's such an intense sport, you okay. know, and you have to, you can't go in drunk, and you can't yeah. go, I mean, there were definitely kids who did by the time
right.
you get to
can't
college.
Be swimming drunk.
Like, exactly.
Right. Drowning. Right, right, right. Drowning yeah. drunk.
But there were definitely kids who would yeah. party hard and still be able to do it. But for the most part, most swimmers, mm-hmm. you know, you need your sleep. You need yeah. your, because it's so intensive. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I know that for me, I've always said like being part of a sport
yeah.
actually was an amazing thing, because it kept me focused. It kept right. me away from parties right. and drugs. And it was always in a way a good excuse not to do that yeah. stuff. So I just, that's in contrast, it sounds like.
Well, you
I
mean, had structure. You had structure. Yeah. Skateboarding, yeah. there's no structure.
There's no structure. No.
It was cool because you could be a rebel.
Right.
That was the fun part.
And so that is yeah. the culture.
That's
in
the
sense.
Culture. You're yeah. a rebel. Yeah. You do basically what you want to do. You right. skate where you want to skate. Right. And I learned so much from that. I learned skateboarding as how you don't judge anybody. See, skateboarding is, if somebody got a skateboard, you're cool, you're family.
Yeah.
Beautiful culture, and it's cool.
It
we look at things differently. We mm-hmm. when we see different objects, we're like, oh, we can, how can we use that for how can we skateboard on that? So our imagination is always moving around in different ways.
Because you're using your environment.
Yeah.
Right? It's not
yeah.
like you're at a skate park. You're nah, you're in the city
in the
and
city.
You're looking for ramps mm-hmm. and which is part of the fun.
And
were there,
part of the fun. Yeah.
Were there a lot of skateboarders in Alaska? I mean, I don't yeah. think of Alaska as like
right
that's
skateboarding
where,
central
that's where yeah. skateboarding happens.
I mean, when
man.
I was younger, I thought that was a lot, but thinking about it, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, there wasn't a lot, but it was just that I had a great time growing up and just built skateboard ramps in my front yard, skateboarding all around, getting chased by police, everything. It was yeah. the whole nine, yeah. man. It was insane, literally right. insane. And I'm like, you know, yeah, I was trespassing to think about
yeah,
it, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, it is fun as a teenager to push those boundaries. Yeah. I mean, that's yeah. what it's all about, and kind of get away with things. It's very yeah. empowering.
There's something to be said for that experience, because I feel like our kids, you know, we keep talking about how our kids are in such a bubble, and they
well, yeah, you got to break out that bubble.
Yeah,
not
like,
not nothing crazy.
Nothing
like we got to get in trouble,
right.
but you
like
have to.
I
got
just
a chance to explore
yeah. and to push yeah. the boundaries
yeah.
and to kind of
or explore the neighborhood.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
go to mess around in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to learn, and it's good to learn from, like, with fear and mistakes. I mean, I've learned a lot from those things, and once you realize that you can learn from it, then you can be like, okay, what could I do better?
1,000%.
Because you got to make a mistake somewhere.
You are
well,
speaking our language.
That's what's amazing with skateboarding. As a, you know, former skateboarder myself back in the day.
Swinging it back. Swinging
He's going to show you his abs now.
Not original Tony Hawk Val Peralta, just saying.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. I did some skateboarding back in the day.
Oh, skirt.
I know.
Very basic.
I know.
But
for you, Quinn.
But there's always a, you know, you see people do tricks. And they fail, and they fail,
yeah.
and they
yeah.
fail.
Yeah.
And they get hurt, and they get hurt, yeah. and they get hurt.
Yeah.
That drive to still do it, even though you're getting banged up, yeah. getting this, is just, I yeah. don't know, man. It's awesome. But
the fact that you
have that desire, you want to finish this thing. You want to mm-hmm. complete
yeah.
this trick, and it's like.
Yeah, everybody has their different strengths, and that's always, I like to encourage people to find your natural strengths and abilities. And so mine necessarily wasn't really like in school. Like I said, I didn't really fit exactly. I mean, I was I'm a left-hander, and I remember my second grade teacher, she hit my hand
no.
to try to be give it to become a right hand. So there's always people trying to tell me what I shouldn't be doing, but
good teaching. It's just
yeah,
solid good teaching.
But with skateboarding, it was like, man, a lot of people told me I couldn't do something, so now I figured out I could do something.
Yeah.
And it was just like the
world.
It empowered me.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Suddenly.
Like, you didn't need a coach,
yeah.
right? You
well,
didn't.
I learned. I watch a lot. And that's what yeah. I think I tell people. You got to watch people. You got to listen.
Yeah. You got to pay attention.
Yeah, you got to pay attention. You got to listen. You got to watch. And I did that a lot all through my life. That's probably been one of my best things I've been able to, you know, use, because that's how I learn. I mm-hmm. you know, when I'm out, I just be listening to people, watching
right.
people.
But
how do you do that?
And isn't
right.
that interesting? Because did I read correctly that you had ADD, ADHD? Yeah. That's part of your hyperactivity.
Yeah, yeah.
So that in school, it was hard for you to focus or sit. But out in the world, finding something that you were passionate about, you could hyper-focus.
Yeah.
You could, like, really pay
yeah.
attention.
Yeah,
I think
I could
that's
zoom
really
in
important.
And just hold on to whatever that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, because right. it was interesting mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. And so your
yeah.
brain was
I was
like,
always curious. I've always been
in it.
Asking questions. I mean, I ask a lot of questions, so I've always been curious, and I never just let that go. I just always kept, even if there was, for instance, there was a kid I was working with, and he was, I think he was like 7 or 8 or 9, and he was telling me about my YouTube channel, and he was giving me some advice on what I should do. So I was like, I'm listening. I took down my notepad and wrote everything he told me to do. And I just think, like, it's important that we listen to people and never think, like, if somebody's too young or too old.
Everyone's got something.
So where did you learn this? Is this, like, did your parents show this kind guide you to find your passion?
I would say first God, and then I would say second of all, at a young age, I discovered my purpose. So I think I would say once I discovered my purpose with helping people, and I had that vision, everything started aligning me in the craziest way. I'm serious. I mean, being from Alaska to be sitting here now, I pinch myself a lot. Because I'm just a kid from Alaska. But the purpose, the number one thing is purpose. Once you find your purpose, everything shifts.
How old were you when you found your purpose?
Four? I'd probably like, could be like 14. And I was like, I want to help people. I want to help people. And my aunt, she would teach me and show me, you got to be a giver. A lot of people think, if I have all these material things, I'm going to be happy. If I have all the money in the world, I'm going to be happy. Yeah. But you're not. You got to serve. Mm-hmm. You have to serve people. You got to find something that you can help people with. I mean, that's something that you can't buy.
Right.
That's you got to serve and you got to surf.
Yeah, and you got to serve.
That's what I heard. You got to serve. Here it
comes. No, but it gives you meaning. It gives you meaning in life. And I mean, there's all this research that's been done around community service and giving back and actually what it does for you. I mean, it's such a positive thing because it helps mm-hmm. both whoever you're helping as mm-hmm. well as yourself. Mm-hmm. And it helps with the creation, development of empathy, and that leads to being happier and more connected to others. And it gives you a sense of purpose, mm-hmm. all these things. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So no, there's a lot to be said for serving others.
But at mm-hmm. 14, so your aunt kind of inspired that
in
you.
Yeah. First I had it was something small where my aunt said, you should speak at, I was like 18. She's like, you should speak at this elementary school. And I was like, no way, I'm not doing that. Yeah. there's no way. But I did it. And I was just like, yo, this is crazy. And I was just like, man, this is okay.
Wow,
and
so then, you push past your discomfort.
Yeah. I mean, being a speaker, that was crazy to me. I mean, that, when I was 18, that wasn't popular to do. I mean, especially being a rebel skateboarder and you're supposed to be cool. You don't do that.
That wasn't the cool thing.
No, now it's cool. But skateboarding, speaking, that was not cool.
What did you speak about?
I just spoke about the different challenges. So I spoke about, say, for instance, the culture of drugs and the culture of, people telling me what I shouldn't do and how I just changed everything to a positive. And those were kind of the things I would touch on. And I think a lot of the youth would be able to understand it because I came from that.
You were youth.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not like this really 90-year-old person telling you. And it's never like, you do this, you do that. I'm always telling people, like, you got to sometimes figure out your life. But I'm going to suggest, I might give you some advice, but at the end of the day, it's up to you for you to make those choices. Another thing, choices are essential. Choices are so powerful. See, we all have a choice. Yeah. We could wake up and say, I'm going to be mad, or we could wake up and say, I'm going to be happy. So I always tell people, you got to make a choice what you want to do, because where you are in life is because of the choices that you made. It's because of the things you speak. Mm-hmm. You got to mm-hmm. watch the words that you speak. Your words are so powerful. Mm-hmm. Life and the death is in the power of your tongue. It's so powerful.
Right, so powerful.
So I wake up and I make sure that I speak words of life.
Now, did you ever have an experience that was really difficult that brought you down? I mean, like, obviously you had a lot of challenges along the way, telling us what you did about, being told you couldn't do this or being told you shouldn't do this. But was there anything, were you ever at any point really discouraged or really at a low and felt like you couldn't?
Yeah, definitely. My whole big dream was to be like this huge professional skateboarder. So it really didn't work out the way that I expected it to. Mm-hmm. And so when you work like so many years trying to do this, and it didn't work out. Yes, I was super down. Mm-hmm. And I would say only God in prayer got me through that mm-hmm. period. But it's amazing how everything works out at the end. Sometimes you don't see it. It's not clear. But if you hold on, you'll start to see it. After I was like, okay, skateboarding might not, work out. things started aligning with, you know, more speaking opportunities and more opportunities to mm-hmm. interview people. So it was like I was maybe about 25 and I started, I got an opportunity to be a host on this network called Juice TV. It just kind of, it really just, my mom met this lady from this this youth network, and the opportunity happened. And I didn't know what I was doing. I never really went to college for it, never had a degree in it, but I know I love to ask questions. I love to talk. I love people, the stories. We all have a story to tell.
Yes, yeah.
So I remember I went in, I had to read from this teleprompter, and I was making so many mistakes, just couldn't even, I've never seen a teleprompter. Right. You know, I'm just like, and I felt like I did horrible. He's like, no, you did good. Just come back. You can do an internship with us. So I did an internship for a while, and I was just, whatever they needed, I was opening up doors, picking up trash. I just loved being on set. I loved it. And then one day, one of the main hosts, he stopped working there. So they're like, Preston, get up there. And I'm like,
no way.
Just literally, I'm up there. I don't know what I'm doing. But you know what? I stepped out on faith and I began to learn every day by watching and listening.
Right.
And just took, I take those opportunities. We got one life. Yeah. People don't understand that.
Yeah.
We got one time at this. So you gotta give it a go. You came to my house, you should see just a lot of books everywhere. Mm. It's kind of madness a little bit. But I always want to learn. I like wisdom.
Yeah. When you need to be inspired, as Sarah was saying, if you're feeling really down or feeling like a failure, there are so many books that can pull you out of that.
Mm.
Hear other people's stories.
Yeah, I heard something. I love this quote from Richard Rohr, because you're talking about, you know, when you have that choice to make each day, and then you dealt with the pain of not succeeding, and you went through some prayer and kind of dealt with it. He said, pain not transformed will be transmitted. So if you don't transform your pain, you'll transmit it to somebody.
Right.
But if you transform it into something to helping others, you don't transmit that pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what you've done. I love that you kind of dealt with that
and
kind of have turned it into something that kind of helps you on your path.
Yeah, and it was hard because, again, there's going to be a time where you're going to be alone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people understand that they're afraid to be alone for a little bit.
Yeah.
But you got to get to know yourself.
Yeah.
You got to have that quiet time where it's just you and being silent and being okay with that. And I had to go through that. And now I look back, I'm like, man, I'm thankful that I did that. And it definitely has helped me.
Was it hard for you in the moment?
Oh, yeah, because you want to hang out with people. You want to, you know, coming out to L.A., this big city, you want to be da-da-da-da-da. But sometimes, you know, you need to be a lot of times you need to be still. See, in the world, there's a lot of noise, a lot of drama, a lot of stuff that just, a lot of confusion, a lot of negativity for no reason, just stuff. But sometimes you gotta move away from that and focus on the positive, the good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that right there will help you. I was recently at Vaughn's up the street, and I'm over here getting some peaches and stuff. And there was a guy who was working and doing this thing, just had this big smile on his face. And I was listening to my music. I took him off and said, hey, how are you doing? We started talking. And I said something like, why are you so happy?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, positive mental attitude. I was like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I was like, you know, what books do you read? Because that's the stuff I do.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he said maybe about 10 years ago, a guy talked to him about it. And he said, you know, so for this guy, he said, you know, when I wake up, if I can just put my feet on the ground, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his choice that he made. And you can just see the joy. And I just feel like, man, if we can just, you know, make that decision, make that choice to say, you know what? Yes, I've been hurt. Yes, I've been whatever it is, but I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to make a choice to, you know, go towards happiness.
Right.
You know, and it's a daily thing. It ain't easy. I ain't saying it's easy.
Right.
But I think we do have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing.
Well, it also seems like when you're talking about, you know, going and spending time with yourself, it seems like you're building up practices around to build the muscle to make that choice.
Definitely.
You know, because there's something, I love that, you know, the two dogs or two wolves story, you know, where everyone has a, you know, a good dog and a bad dog in them,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and they're battling for control. And
the
it's
voices.
Like, yeah, which noise. One wins?
Yes.
Well, it's the one you feed the most.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feed that bad dog, that's the one that's going to start.
And it's a lot of the voices that are speaking. So when you got these voices that are speaking, because we all got those voices, you ain't going to do it. This ain't going to happen. As soon as you hit on voices, that's when you got to speak the words. You got to speak power. You got to speak life. You know, so that's the things that I do. And once you start speaking, you're gonna realize those voices are going to fall off because you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times we're just hearing these words. We're just sitting there listening to them, battling them in our brain. For what?
Mm-hmm.
Speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speak life. Speak, declare.
So what does that look like? Like, can you give us an example? I mean, does that mean talking to yourself? Yeah, does that mean speaking out loud?
Yeah, it's like affirmation. So right, it's like, you know, I am great. I am powerful. Whatever it is, I am. Use I am. Mm-hmm. I am. Start speaking that. You know, whatever it is, today's a great day. Whatever, today's a beautiful day. I'm, you know, whatever it is that you can think of that's empowering, you need to speak that.
Right.
It will change your life.
Interesting.
It will change you.
I also think something I try to do when I can catch myself is just, it's just talk to myself like a good friend would talk to myself too, you know, because those thoughts, your mind just throws thoughts up, you know, and, you know.
All the negative self-talk.
Yeah, you know,
such
whatever.
I'm a loser. What was I thinking? I can't even do that. I'll never be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think it's that old part of your brain. Yes. I mean, I think it's ultimately trying to protect you in some sense, you know, in some weird sense that just saying, you know, is that true?
Primitive.
Is that true? Is that true? Just talk, like a good friend would talk, because you can add on to those negative thoughts, or you can try to be like, no, you know, I'm not.
And sometimes it's hard to do it yourself. So maybe speaking up to someone else who knows you well to say, I'm really stuck today. I'm really feeling down.
But sometimes you might not have that. You might not have people to encourage you. You got to encourage yourself. You can't always put everything on everybody else. You have to do it. This life, it ain't going to be like super easy now. You got to sit down and figure out, okay, this has been going on and I want to make a change for my life, for me. You know, it could be anything. It could be eating food. It could be exercising. You got to do it because of you. And then, of course, once you start, you know, doing it, you are going to start attracting those people to you. You're going to be just finding people. They're going to be just speaking. Right. Like, I be finding people all the time. But, you know, I think it was said something like, we attract, you know, who we are. You know, who we are.
Totally.
So if you already do it.
I 1,000% agree. It's And how you kind of think about yourself and feel about yourself is sort of sets the stage for who comes into your life. But it's interesting because you guys are going to laugh and kind of your jaws are going to drop because you're not going to believe what I'm about to say, because usually our conversations are like, Morgan's the more religious spiritual one and Melissa and I are always sort of talking on a much more individual sort of emotional psychological level. And I actually I'm Jewish but I'm not practicing or I haven't been, but yesterday was Yom Kippur, a Jewish holiday, and it's the Day of Atonement, which means like it's the day that you're supposed to think about, you know, your sins, your, you know, all the things that you want to change about yourself.
Say it, Sarah. Just I want to hear you say your sins.
Hallelujah. And I didn't grow up religiously at all, and I've always, like, therapy has been my religion. That's kind of how I put it, you know. And yesterday, sitting in this service, I suddenly got what the whole religion, organized religion, is about. Because the one thing I have to say is that it's so, like, we talk so much about the individual and what you can do and how you, and yet I really do. It was a moment where I was suddenly like, oh, I get it. Like, this is what faith can be. Because you're looking beyond yourself.
There we go. You hit it.
You look beyond yourself. And not only do you sort of look, you're connected to the community that you're with and to the religion that you're part of. But presumably to God or spirituality or whatever that means to you.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, I don't believe in some guy with a white beard, you know, sitting up on a, you know, cloud type thing. But, you know, for me, it's something different. But it's just about kind of, for me, it was the first time someone who's so in my own head so much of the time, so much like, what can I do? What can I, what's my part? To suddenly be like, okay, wait a second. It's about more than just me.
100%.
Right? There you go. It was a really interesting moment. It is really freeing.
It's freeing.
It really is.
You just let it go.
Yeah. Well, and it also freeing and yet kind of empowering. Like, wait a second. Like, it's not all totally, I mean, it is up to me, because I totally agree with you. I 1,000% agree about the choices we make. Yeah. And yet there was something sort of empowering that you're not alone, I guess. When I say it's not just me, it's more like you're not alone.
Right.
It's like,
there's a whole community.
And also not in a way, the other part of it was that, like, not to kind of get too caught up in stuff, because you're just this one tiny speck in this cog, in this huge, you know.
Huge.
So,
well, and believing in something, right?
Believing
whatever,
in something.
Whatever that is, whether it's, as you say, God or spirituality or nature or something bigger than us.
Yeah,
which,
that's
yeah. You know, and I know, you know, I mean,
helpful.
I'm not saying anything new, I guess, you know, people out there.
But you got the, you know, something that you felt, and that's for you. And this, you know what I'm saying? And that's, you got to hold on to that.
Right. And it's just an interesting thing, because I think we do, it's just a different take on the whole notion of how we as individuals can change our lives and are in control of our lives. Because I think it can feel sometimes really overwhelming and scary, and just overwhelming is really the way it gets. So people just feel like, how can I do this on my own?
Right.
And it was one of the first times that I was like, okay, I get how, you know, you don't have to do it on your own. If you if you find a spirituality, you find a connection to something bigger than yourself.
You have to.
Let's hold hands, everybody.
Let's say a prayer.
I'm thinking about my nanny, Rosa, who has been with my family for about 14 years. And she came here from El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And she had to leave her six children to come here with her husband. They escaped here to give her children a better life. And so she had to sacrifice being with them in order to keep them alive. Mm-hmm. And the only way she got through it was her church and her belief in God. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, the terror and the grief of being apart from her children was too much. She had to believe that there was a purpose and that there was trust and that something would come from this. And four out of six of her kids are here now. We've helped
them come here.
And she's one of the most positive women I've ever met in my life. In fact, I want to have her on the podcast to talk about, you know, all the failure and hardship. But this trust in something bigger than her that would bring her children back to her after having a safe life, right? And that sacrifice. And and so...
and yet it doesn't always work that way. Like, that's the brutal
thing. But for her.
Yeah.
But for her. It wasn't easy. It didn't always work. But she had... She believed in something that gave her hope. I'm just kind of in awe when you can believe in something bigger than you that gets you through something almost impossible to get through. Yeah. Right? On a human
That's
level.
That's true.
We'll have her come on and speak her story. But back to you.
Sorry, Preston.
I'm thinking just about like Rosa and her experience of race and you know, all the failure and that. Did being a black boy in Alaska growing up, did you experience any
in the
racism?
Skateboarding community?
No type of, you know, I didn't feel any racism in Alaska. I mean, not necessarily, but I do feel it, like being black. You do feel it on a daily basis.
Right, sure.
I mean, when I first moved out to California, I was driving and I got a new car. So, you got like the tags of the license plate. I didn't have like the license plate on the back, but you know, the paper.
Yeah.
Right.
So I had that. And I was pulled over, wasn't speeding, wasn't doing anything. And the cop pulled me over. So I already know like what to do. Thank God. My dad was like, put your hand on the steering wheel. You got to turn on all the lights, put down all the windows. It was like this whole, this holiday. Being black, you just know.
Driving while, while black.
Exactly. Yeah. So you do the whole thing. And so I have my hand on the steering wheel. The officer comes up. The first thing he says is, where's the drugs? Where's the marijuana?
No.
That's number one.
Not can I see your license?
Number one.
Fucked up. Sorry.
So I'm just sitting there like, okay. I had my Bible on the top thing. I'm like, officer, my Bible's, I don't do no drugs or anything. He's like, would you please step out of the car, please? And they have two officers. So I'm like, I already know. I'm just going to be cool. I'm going to be respectful. Put your hands behind your back. Puts me in handcuffs.
What?
Puts me in the back of the police car. And they're just going through my car trying to find these drugs.
Wow.
And I'm praying in the back of this cop car like, Lord, not today. I ain't built for this. This ain't my life. And so he did come back. There's two officers come back. They said, we didn't find anything. And literally, they just let me go. And that was pretty much it. They said, never come back to Hollywood. And that was it.
No, they didn't apologize?
No.
Never come back to Hollywood.
Never come back to Hollywood. That was it.
Wow.
That was it. But I always go back to Hollywood.
Yeah, you do. How did you feel in that moment? Did you want to take down their names?
No, I wasn't thinking about all that. I'm just trying to say I'm just thankful that they didn't plant nothing on me. And so, there you go. You see, it's about chess. So you got to think. So if you would have, if I would have said something, they could plant something on you.
Oh my God!
You have to make these. You have to make these choices. You got to make these decisions. So I could have said, "Oh, you don't have a warrant.
Right.
You don't have. You know, I had the right to." Right. But I said, "You know what? I'm just gonna let them do what they need to do. I'm gonna be cool."
Right.
And I did let go. So everybody's.
You know what that takes? It takes a lot of self-control, mm-hmm. right? Because when you're scared, and when you feel
powerless
on such a level where they could plant something on you just because of the way you look and prove something that's not real, the rage or the terror all the emotion that would come up, that you had the self-control to know, I'm just gonna like stay quiet and be respectful. I mean, that is impressive. That
only
is
God,
that is
only
mature.
God. Only God, man.
Well, I you got a terrified. Mature God.
Yeah. I was terrified, but you know, things happen. Some people got it worse. Some people right. die in those situations. Yeah. So yeah. Really,
yeah. So. But you also strike me as, and we talk a lot about this, that you're wired for, in a way. Like you obviously have a drive. You have a and
like you came to this world.
Yeah, you
born
were kind of made
a certain
in a
way.
Exactly,
thank you.
Exactly. That you seem to have a positivity to you and an ability to kind of even in dark moments or difficult times to remain positive. So mm-hmm. is that something?
Well,
you
I thought
about
yourself. Yeah, I thought or, about.
And did you always have that?
Yeah. I think it was my thing. But in that, hold up, for the first question, I was thinking also of what if those officers? Maybe they. I was thinking maybe prior or maybe some of their maybe one of their guys got shot or maybe something happened. So maybe they're already enraged. So I was thinking of that thought too. So I have a little empathy for them a little bit,
which is amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. I was just thinking like that. So I was like, maybe they're already worked up. So I'm going to be cool. You know, wow. Just, I don't know what their day was. Yeah.
You're so right.
I mean, being an officer, wouldn't you imagine things every day? People, yeah. you know, yep. people saying F police or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
right,
like
right,
he came right. up to me already ready to,
right.
you know, so
totally
I didn't know about him.
Fight.
So
right.
I'm like, you know, I'm just going
to. That's incredible ability to be like, I wonder what their day was like. Maybe they're having a hard time.
Yeah. It's just so rare that we do that. I think on the whole, yeah. we don't step outside of ourselves. I think yeah. we're so quick to react and mm-hmm. to do that. I mean, obviously you've had to do that in a way out of like to self-preservation out of for your own yeah. safety and yeah. protection, but
yeah, you know. I think just my family, you know, I learned just things just being raised. I mean, just by my mom and dad and my aunt, and I think I like learned different traits from all of them. Like my parents have like my aunt has a gift where she can meet somebody and instantly, boom, they connect. And I took that, like I got that from her. My dad has a different sense of humor. I took that. My mom's into fashion. I took that. But I just took different things, I guess. And then, but I had to work on, like, you know, God will give you a gift, but you got to work on your
right,
gift.
Right.
You got to develop Absolutely. It. He can give yeah. you something. So I just had to work on a little bit of my giftings, and then, you know, just doors started to open. Doors that look impossible. Impossible. When I was doing my TV hosting bit, there was a time where I wanted some clothes to wear on the network. So by step of faith, I started calling up different companies to get some free clothes. So
wow,
ended up calling Forever 21, and they were like, "Man, we love what you're doing." And though she said, "We'd love to send you some clothes, but have you ever thought about modeling?" And I said, "Not really, but I can model." I just spoke
yeah.
it. And she said, "Send me some pictures." So I sent her some pictures. The picture that I sent to her, she said, "Our staff loves them so much, we're going to put those on our billboard in Times Square, New York City."
What?
Are you kidding?
I ain't kidding.
Your pictures are on Times.
Yes. Yes.
No same. Way.
Four pictures for a whole month.
Ironically.
Wow.
Same thing happened to me. I haven't met anybody else who that has. No, I'm kidding.
I'm like,
for real?
I'm like, what? Yeah. And I'm telling you.
Morgan's jealous.
I am a Forever 21 yeah. model.
Can't you tell?
The alignment of things just kept
well,
going.
You
just
put it out there.
You step into it.
I
step into it.
I step into it. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
I think sometimes people worry if it doesn't come at a certain time
right.
that you've missed it. And I think that that's a really important
a really
point is
point.
That your purpose can come at any time
right.
of life, and
right.
you just have to keep looking.
You have to.
You know,
and you got lucky
try
in
not
a way.
To give up.
Right.
Yeah.
And you got lucky
it's like
in
a
sense
fire.
That
I feel like fire inside.
Well,
yeah.
and also that you found
feeling.
It because
yeah.
it's not just like you obviously had the passion and maybe with the ADD
right.
you had or ADHD, you had that like intensity, the physical right. need
yeah.
for an outlet, right?
Right.
But the fact that you found the right, it's like a match. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I often think about this mm-hmm. when I think about professional athletes or, you know, Olympians. Like, how did they find the right sport? Like, what if
yeah.
they, what if they'd gone into something else,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I think, like,
yeah.
that match, finding mm-hmm. what you're meant
yeah.
to do, what you're really good at.
Right.
is always amazing to mm-hmm. me that mm-hmm. when that happens because
yeah,
I think
is.
It is rare. I don't think it's
yeah.
you know it is.
It's like me and
special.
Modeling.
It's like you and modeling.
Just that
Morgan. I know.
Just
that
just happened.
I know. Well,
I love it.
Now I'm going to take Morgan to Forever 21. I can't wait. I didn't know they had men's stuff.
Yep.
Watch out.
Yep.
So what do you have, like, what are your kind of goals down the road? What are your
I got big
plans.
Goals. I want to win an Emmy. So I'm going to put that out there right there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love it.
For what?
Yeah.
I'm
you know, with my interview. So right now I'm working with Marvel. We just did some amazing pinch-worthy interviews.
Wow.
Mark Ruffalo,
love him.
You know, Karen Gillan and
wow.
and it just, you know, just these awesome opportunities that have been coming my way. I feel that with these interviews that I'm doing, because they're all to uplift and inspire. And it just feels right. And it feels mm-hmm. like this is the time to do these interviews.
And where are you doing the interviews? Where are they being aired? Well, where can people see them?
We just trying to figure it all out. I mean, I started interviewing 10 years ago, and this is just me doing, you know, regular, just shooting on cameras. Then I, you know, ended up meeting Anthony Russo, the director from Avengers. We hit it off. He says, I love what you're doing. I want to help you. So
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he said, come out to Atlanta, come out to Pinewood Studios. I flew out there and wow. You know, I'm pinching myself, yeah. you know, getting to see, you know, Don Cheadle, all these people that are just, you know, and just getting to talk with these people has been truly amazing because they're just like you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and that's the whole thing. They're not like how you imagine. They're just regular people mm-hmm. that maybe have more money than you. Maybe they're in their gift. But, you know, for me, I just want to talk more of their story. Mm-hmm. And Mark Ruffalo, he was ADHD like me, dyslexia. People told him he couldn't read. Look at him now.
Yeah, right.
Karen Gillan, right. she was bullied as a kid because she has red hair. Look at her now. Yeah, right. So my whole thing is getting to the soul, getting right. to that person to humanize.
Right, right.
These celebrities.
We're with you. That's right. it. Well, right.
To help
that's
others.
Totally. Well, that's, I guess, you know, we've talked a lot about a lot of things today, but we haven't talked a lot about failure.
Yes,
that's what this podcast yeah. is about. But our goal is pretty much the same thing. Is kind of focusing on the things that all connect us, like yeah. failure, and we all experience it. So and then finding, you know, finding ways of overcoming it. So
yeah, overcoming those obstacles, because right. mm-hmm. it is tough when you hear those no's
right.
a lot.
Yeah.
I've this is the thing. I mean, I've sent out so many interviews to interview a lot of different people, and it just didn't happen. And so yeah, it hurts and you feel down, but don't stop. You mm-hmm. cannot stop because you never know. I mean, all the people that I was trying to interview before, they weren't even A-listers. Now I'm interviewing the A-list celebrities.
And just because you kept at it?
Yes, keeping at it. But right. it goes along. You got to be in your purpose.
Right.
You
right.
know,
right.
you got to be, because I don't think I would be here if it was about me.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. if it was just about me, I don't think. But since it's for the world, it's for people, it's for service, I think that's why the door opened.
Mm.
And so I have to stay true to that. If mm-hmm. I stay right. true to that, the doors will open.
Right.
So you take your ego out of it.
You have to.
And people really feel that. I mean, yeah. we feel that totally. Sitting in the yeah, room with totally. You. This is not
no,
about
it's
you.
Not, no, this is generation.
You're the messenger in a way.
I'm thinking about generations down. People say I'm a good communicator not just because I listen. But yeah. you yeah. just need to listen. Yeah.
Well,
and have empathy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's right.
And not judging. You right. can't judge.
Right.
You
know,
what about when your kids don't listen, though, Preston? No,
I'm just kidding. You got to love them. You got to focus on love.
Yeah.
What do you tell kids, though, who, you know, it's such a stressful time right yeah. now. It seems like mm-hmm. we talk about that keeps coming up for teenagers. Yeah. Like, if you're working with some kid and he's dealing with, you know, these stresses and social media and all this stuff, like, what's kind of, yeah. what do you tell them?
Well, I mean, with social media, a lot of times, they just need to pause from social media a little bit. A lot of yeah. times, they're not pausing. They're just... Like I could be on there a lot too, looking at everybody else, comparing yourself to people. And if we all do that, we're all gonna, there's somebody with a bigger house, or somebody always, with a better car, always, or somebody with better tennis always, shoes.
Right.
So sometimes I just say, man, just pause on that social media, take a break and, you know, focus on, you know, what you got going on. Mm-hmm. And, it there's no like really like one answer or nothing like that. It takes a lot of time for me to just hang out with them and get to know them. But I really focus on having them, you know that they're not in competition with nobody but themselves. Mm-hmm. And if they can just stay focused on what they got going on, it's a lot easier than focusing yeah. on what everybody else got.
Right.
Then you
right,
feel
right,
like, man,
right.
what do I have to offer?
Right,
and
right.
everybody in this world has a purpose. Everybody is here for a reason. Everybody has something to give. I don't know exactly what it is, but I just feel like we right. all have something to
right.
offer. So
right.
I just have them try to tap in to find that, whatever that is. And at first it's difficult because mm-hmm. people aren't going to understand you. When I was doing skateboarding, they didn't understand me. When I was interviewing people, they didn't understand me. But look, they understand me now.
Mm-hmm.
It took a time because I had to stay with it when they were making fun of me, but you have to stay with it.
So you, because the other thing that strikes me about everything you're saying is how much patience you have. You
oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You got to have patience.
You got to have patience.
Especially yeah. through failure.
You got to have
right?
patience.
Yeah. It's really
but
hard.
But hope is
hope
beautiful.
Is real, right.
So
right.
when God was taking me on these journeys, I got to see a lot of, you know, working with A-list movie stars, but seeing from behind the scenes. When I got to see from the behind the scenes, I got a lot of empathy through that.
Right.
And so I have an understanding of, okay. And so, but all my, I mean, you know, I was an assistant to an actor. He was in this movie called, that's kind of how it really started too. He was in this movie called Super 8.
Oh,
Spielberg and JJ. And then he got in this other show called The Big C. So I was always behind the scenes with him, and I would just kind of watch and I think that's as well. I learned a lot, so I wasn't really like super shocked around celebrities because I was always behind the scenes for so long. And then finally, boom, then he puts me in front.
I think that in fear of failure, people often are afraid to ask for something that they want or need because of the worry of rejection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they'll really feel
that's
like a failure,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And so instead of asking, you don't.
Right.
And, you know, we've had that experience where we've had people we really want on our podcast, and we will take that risk and send a letter or make a phone call. And sometimes very quickly we get back that no thanks. Or hear nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it stings. It stings.
It does.
And it pushes you back a little bit. And it makes you, you know, it depends on the day you're having.
Mm-hmm.
You might be like, see, we can't, nobody wants, you know, you've all the negative self-talk.
Right.
Or it inspires us to keep going.
Yes.
Right. But I think it is easy to get stuck in like the frustration or the hopelessness of we're never going to be where we want to be. We're always going to feel like we're failing.
Totally.
And so...
But look at you guys. You guys have 100 interviews.
Yeah, we're pretty badass.
100.
Yeah.
Way more than me. So things are aligning for you guys. Looking like to me. And so, yes, you're going to get some no's here and there, but you are going to get those yeses for the ones that need to be, or that are supposed to be on your show.
Yeah.
You're going to get them.
Yeah. You have to keep asking.
Yep. You're going
to
get
your
them.
Faith and like clarity.
You're going to get them. I'm telling you, I'm from Alaska. I was in special ed classes.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys right now, it's you know, you just put it down, work hard, and just I'm learning. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I'm learning. I'm trying to, but I know one thing. You got to get away from that negativity because that's all that's noise trying to stop you to where you guys want to be.
Yeah.
You have to silence that negativity. Silence that noise. Get it out.
I feel a little allergic to negativity.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. I feel allergic to it. When I hear negativity, I'm like,
No, honestly, like it's like a Jewish thing, I think. The Jews are like drawn to negativity.
I'm Jewish.
I know.
Maybe you're not. Allergic because I've grown up with it.
Put a balance on it.
I know. No, totally. I'm not saying it's a good thing because it's just more like it's how I grew up. It's like this.
Me too.
You know?
But
that's
a really important part, Sarah. We always talk about family of origin, right? How did you learn to deal with failure? Mm-hmm. Did you hear a lot of negativity and just kind of look for it? Mm-hmm. Or did you learn to push through it because it didn't make sense to you, right? We always have to pay attention to how we were brought up.
Right.
In
I shouldn't
terms
say
of
it's
this.
My family. Because
we won't blame your parents.
It's also, though.
No, you're saying culturally.
Culturally. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And even though we say, you know, people are wired differently, I think human nature is wired to find the negative and to be a bit selfish. So you constantly, no matter...
It's survival.
Most positive... Yes, exactly. So most positive people just get up and fight that nature. And I think people look at them as like, they just wake up positive. Everyone's fighting that nature
that's
on some level.
That's a really important piece.
Yes, that's what you're saying too.
Yeah. So I wake up, I make it a practice to do what I need to do in the morning.
Do you ever have moments where the negative takes over?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm a human.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm talking and be like,
human.
No, he doesn't have that.
No, I do. But that's why you got to speak.
Right.
You got to speak because those negative thoughts are going to come when there's those, you know, entertainment, those, you know, you do one job and it takes off 5 months and
Right.
But you got to speak. The more you speak, those negative thoughts have to go. They gotta leave because you're speaking, and then sooner or later your subconscious mind, how it works, it just starts to overtake.
Well, I think that's two of it. I mean, there's something, and even though this may sound a little cliche, you can't feel blessed and stressed at the same time. You can't. So if you feel gratitude's a big key for that. For me,
gratitude.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, you Christians are full of catchphrases.
Gratitude. Yes. Oh yeah. I'll talk
about
that.
New Sarah is as well.
Yeah. Speaking of, I think gratitude is something that else we look over. See, I see beauty in everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I do. I can look at the trees and be like, wow, that's beautiful. I can look at the moon.
Totally.
I don't care whatever the dog, the whatever, the streets.
Yeah.
I can see beauty. And I think we need to start paying attention to things.
100%.
Butterflies. I don't care what it is. Grass.
100%.
Yo, the breath you're breathing in, it's beautiful. It's love.
Yep. But we pay attention to it. 100% agree. And,
yeah.
And I remember, you know, my mom, I used to make fun of her when I was mm-hmm. little because we called her like a nature lover, but yeah. she would literally pull the car over and be like, you guys, look at the sunset
yeah.
or look at the moon or get out of the car and come sniff this tree mm-hmm. or these flowers. Yeah. And we made fun of it. And yet we loved it. And now I do it to my kids.
Yeah, that's an amazing
But it is.
Practice.
It stops you in your tracks, mm-hmm. right? To be so present
yes.
and to also know there is something way bigger than us going on
here,
right?
There we go.
For me, nature is,
yes.
that's my spiritual
right.
experience.
I love nature.
But to try to teach that to our kids, to like put everything down and look at the amazing
yes.
beauty around us and
yes.
and be grateful,
mm-hmm.
right? Just to like feel
totally.
The wind in your
but
hair,
it's,
like
it's
just
spoken
just
like a surfer,
that.
Melissa.
It can, yeah, yeah.
Feel
right.
the it can tubular hard, wave while you're riding down the line.
Yes,
it can be hard though when you like when I was struggling with depression and postpartum and that kind of thing. And I remember having a friend who said to me, and we had new babies, and I was overwhelmed. And I remember her saying, like, it's kind of a. It pushes my buttons when I hear that because I got to say, this friend of mine said to me, Sarah, I don't know why you're not more positive. Just like look out the window and look at the trees and the birds. And I was like, fuck, sorry.
Did you ever, yeah, how
fuck
you felt?
Lady.
Yeah.
I'm like struggling. Yeah. And I didn't even know it. I didn't
yeah.
even know that I was struggling with postpartum and,
right.
you know, with depression. And finally, when I got medication and I was, you know, was able to deal with it, I was suddenly like, okay, now I can take that breath. So that is one thing I want to point out that
I agree with you. And I think... I imagine, and I don't know in that moment, if your friend was able to be empathic
yeah, she was
and compassionate.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
There you go.
Because if you
right,
could
right,
connect
right. Yep.
first
totally.
On the dark place you are in
yep.
and have be felt
right.
by that
it's
other person,
huge,
right?
Yeah.
Then
it's
you're seen different. And you're heard
right.
and you're felt
right.
and you feel grounded and connected. And
yes.
then you're open
right.
to looking outside and maybe smelling
right.
A flower, right?
Right? And giving
yeah.
it a try, tentatively
100%.
Stepping out,
and I think
yeah.
a lot of people yeah. get uncomfortable with somebody else's depression
oh,
or
exactly.
grief. And so they
mm-hmm.
very
was.
Quickly move
yeah.
to fixing it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it only makes you feel
more alienated,
worse, more
listen.
Alienated.
Oh,
right.
Listen.
Exactly.
Right.
So you have to
right.
listen
yes,
and
you have to
empathy. Have that empathy. That's
empathy.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then go smell the flowers.
Yes, time. It takes time.
It does take time.
It's
all
we're all on a
time.
Journey. Look, I tell people all the time, I was in special ed classes. I be reading. You can do it too.
Yeah. But I think those are the stories people need to hear,
yeah.
right? Not
yeah.
not just like that you're a guy who reads so well and has so many books. It's like, no, you were in special
yeah.
ed. You probably maybe at one point didn't know if you could read or
right,
people
right.
didn't believe that
yeah.
you could read. And here you are. You found
yeah.
a way.
Yeah.
Right? That's where the failure is in working through
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and reading helped me as well because back in the day, you know, in slavery and all that, we black people weren't supposed to read or write.
Mm.
So I said, okay, well, if they took that from us, I'm going to read a lot now.
Yeah, that's right.
So I read
that's
a
right.
lot now. And that's just, you know, what I try to encourage. A lot of people, you know, they might, you know, you tell them something, but they have to go through a hard time.
Touch
not
it.
Me, because I watch people. I'm saying, I don't want to make that mistake.
Right.
So what can I learn? Some people
right.
want to go through that mistake. You know, sometimes the nail just don't hurt enough, so they keep making the same mistake.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to go through it. So I'm like, how did you get this? How did
yeah.
you? I'm asking questions, seeing
yeah.
how they did it
yeah.
and trying to figure it out instead of, you know, trying to do it my
right.
own way.
Right.
Because I don't know
yeah.
it. One thing I know is, what was that? Some philosophy said this. If there's anything I know, it's I know nothing.
Right.
And that's what I stand
mm-hmm.
on.
Right.
I mean, it's just the yeah. more you learn, the more you realize you
don't
know
you
don't anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You take that
right?
ego
so,
out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
It is.
Anyway, so great. So inspiring, Preston.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So how can people find you and be inspired more
yeah.
by what you're doing?
They can check my Instagram at PrestonPollard1, or they could go to my website, Preston Pollard, and I'm on YouTube as well. And so I would love to just hear anything you guys want to, you know, talk about, say, and thank you guys for just listening. Hope you guys have a really good, great day.
Yeah.
You too,
thank you.
That's
amazing.
That's what
awesome.
We all hope.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Other F Word Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast, and visit us online at theotherfwordpodcast.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we'd love to hear your stories of struggle with failure. You can contact us at info@theotherfwordpodcast.com. See you next time.